You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Alright, this is the MGB review of 2012 Battle of Los Angeles Night 2. Now, the reason we're reviewing this one is, it was my birthday a few weeks ago, and I actually bought, I don't know if it was a wrestling crate, it was something. I didn't know what was coming. I knew there were some DVDs, I knew there was a t-shirt, some other merch and whatever. And all three DVDs, when I looked at them, I was like, man, I did pretty good. So I saw this one, I saw some of the names on it, so I said to you, I said, hey, do you want to watch this one? And you were like, yeah, absolutely. So that's why I went ahead and did it. Now, you did say straight away, I was like, what about night one? I said, all right, I'll go and look those results up. All right, first of all, though, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is an American professional wrestling promotion based in South California. It is owned and operated by wrestlers themselves, having been created by Disco Machine, Excalibur, Scott Lost, Joey Ryan, Super Dragon, and Top Gun Talwar. So Joey Ryan has another organization besides bar wrestling. I didn't realize that. Excalibur I wouldn't have known until about a year ago. You were pretty close to Excalibur.
I was?
Yeah. I'm guessing you don't know who that is then. No, he's not been really keeping up with AEW. It's the masked commentator.
Oh.
All right, let's have a look on here. I saw, actually, I think this was a cage match. I think some people actually rated the matches for these ones, so I think this is where I got some of these from. First match was TJ Perkins and defeated Joey Ryan. Somebody gave that 9 out of 10. Gabrino BR. This was in 2017. This event was in 2012, so 5 years later. Second match, Roderick Strong defeated Drake Younger. Cage match recommended this next one. Eddie Edwards beat Kyle O'Reilly. Match 4, Brian Cage defeated B-Boy. A lot of these people who got defeated ended up fighting in the second night anyway, but just in the tag team matches. Ricochet defeated Kevin Steen. Of course, that would be Kevin Owens later on. Match 6, Sami Callihan defeated Willie Mack. Match 7, Adam Cole defeated El Generico. And you didn't know who El Generico was, so that was kind of a surprise for you. I hadn't seen him fight before, Sami Zayn as El Generico, so this was the first one. That was also a recommended match, 8.32. And the Sami Callihan match against Willie Mack was recommended as well at 7.20. And the last first round match was Michael Elgin and Davey Richards, and Michael Elgin won that one. Michael Elgin match went on 23 minutes.
Oh.
Like, my gosh. Like, most of these, when we watched them, were like 10 minutes, something like that. There were a few other couple of long ones. Eddie Edwards and Kyle O'Reilly was 17 minutes. And TJ Perkins and Joey Ryan was 13. Actually, Ricochet was 15 as well, nearly 16 minutes. So there were a few. So those were the results from the first night. And basically, that put them 8 people in. And then they could go on to the next night, and that's where we're going to start from. So, match 1. These are the quarterfinals now, then. It's a big tournament, 16 people. When we saw the 8 people, we were kind of curious. We're like, I wonder who the other 8 were. And then when we saw, went back, we're like, oh, everyone is in the tag team. So, all right, match 1 then was TJ Perkins and Sami Callihan. I don't think we've reviewed anything with Sami Callihan in before. I know we talk about Impact Wrestling, but I don't think we've ever reviewed anything with him in. TJ Perkins we did, because he was at Alpha One. So I went back and looked for Sami. Sami, 2008, he was the AIW Tag Team Champion with Matt Riott. In February 2009, CZW New Horror Champion. And also in 2009, the WXW World Tag Team Champion with Jon Moxley. Woo! We've had WXW a few times recently. That's the one in Germany.
Yeah, that's where Alexander James wrestled.
Yeah, the one in Germany. That was really interesting. And, of course, more recently, the Impact World Champion from the 25th of October until the 12th of January when Tessa Blanchard beat him. I think he's only in his mid-30s. So he would have been really young when he actually won that tag team championships in 2008. I definitely want to go back and look at that one with Jon Moxley, though. It's called the Switchblade Conspiracy.
You said that Tessa Blanchard beat him?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had intergender titles in Impact.
So, all right. So, in the first 5 minutes of this, we've established that you don't watch AEW. You don't watch Impact. From the last one we did, we know that you don't watch WWE.
Don't watch the whatever the 10 pounds of gold thing was.
NWA as well.
NWA.
Uh-huh.
MLW.
You stopped watching that as well. We used to watch that together, and I was like, he's not interested anymore, so...
I mean, yeah. I am interested, I just don't... I just haven't really... I don't know what happened. Like, I didn't really... I think I stopped because I didn't have time for middle school, and now you it's just didn't. Not a habit anymore.
Yeah, you didn't. You had a lot. You were just... With all your wrestling that you were doing at school, by the time you got home and had dinner, it was almost time to start getting showering and get ready for bed. So, yeah, no, you didn't really have much
time. I think
time.
I just got out of the habit now.
Easiest way for easiest way for Raw and SmackDown is top 10 highlights on top 10 moments from YouTube, which is what we used to watch. AEW does the same, actually. Impact has their top 5 highlights, and then you can quickly keep up. MLW, there isn't any really short.
I think it's easy to just to watch the pay-per-views and the big like rivalries. They have recaps, so you just understand that's... the whole month anyway.
So how is it when we watch WrestleMania? Every single match, you were like, Oscar's a heel?
Because I haven't watched any of the... I haven't watched any of the pay-per-views before that, but Money in the Bank, I've watched WrestleMania, so I missed all of those storylines, but I'll catch up on Money in the Bank, because they're only going to have the big storylines on Money in the Bank, and they're obviously going to recap it,
probably.
So it just makes
certainly
sense.
Certainly if you watch the pre-show, that's for sure. Yeah. Oh, jeez. They announced the 2 matches for that, actually. I'm not sure when this episode's going to come out. This episode's going to depend on how quickly we can get our interviews. We're waiting on a few people right now. If we get those interviews, we'll put those out first. So this might be a month till this comes out, but we'll have to see. All right, go on. Talk about through this match, then.
So Kevin Steen is on commentary, and he's a... So we did a draft. So me and you did, like, a draft, and I picked Kevin Steen as my, like, my male pick because he can do commentary. He's a great heel. He's great on the mic. He's not too old.
Yeah.
He can speak French if I need him to.
For international audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can go into Canada as well, obviously, to Montreal and places like that too. Yeah.
And I love his documentary on 24. I think you should watch that.
Probably.
So there was a suicide dive into Sammy, and Sammy gets flown into the chairs, and TJP does a STFU, and TJP tapped to the leg around the neck, which was the stretch muffler.
Now I got one thing for that. Sammy Callahan went through the bottom ropes, and it's between the bottom and the middle ropes, I'm sorry, and TJP went through the middle and the top ropes. And the thing I put about that, it was just the energy from the start. Like, it was absolutely crazy. It was totally non-stop. I loved it. I really liked TJ Perkins. It was really cool getting to see him. I've not seen Sammy Callahan be involved in that much of an energy match with someone quite as quick as TJ Perkins, so it was kind of interesting to see that one as well. I know you said you didn't have much of this. I didn't either, but I thoroughly enjoyed the match, though.
Talking about going under the bottom rope, that's the thing that I hate most about Baron Corbin. It just, like, triggers me so much when he goes under the bottom rope whenever he gets Irish whipped into the corner. He always goes under. It just triggers me so much.
Sammy Callahan has a lot of signature moves when I was looking him up on Cage Match. He had the stretch muffler because we weren't sure what the name of that finisher was to begin with. The forearm to remember, the deadlift Sato, possum Sato, fish slap. I want to see that. I have the mental image and it's totally wrong right now. The knee KO, the bear trap, Sammy Horror Picture Show, and then Lariat. I don't know, that's a signature move. I think pretty much everyone does a lariat.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a strange one.
Now, Lariat Tubman is a signature move.
Now, that would be an exception.
You can't have a move that everybody calls it.
Oh, speaking of which, I've forgotten. Trish Adora's documentary is out. If you go and look for it on YouTube, it's only like 4 or 5 minutes long, I think. I don't think it's that long, but it is out now. So I was going to watch it, and I was like, I'll wait till Mason's here. And then I forgot.
Brian Johnson?
I'm not sure. All right, match 2 was another quarterfinal between Adam Cole and Eddie Edwards. And similarly, we haven't really reviewed Adam Cole. We know he wrestled at EWA Maryland for a while, but I don't think we really talked about him. I think we did one NXT review, possibly. So I went back and looked at him. So he was trained at CZW Academy by DJ Hyde and John Dahmer. He became an official student at the academy in 2007, while he was still a senior in high school. Because I'm going to say, Adam Cole's probably only about 30 when I looked at this. I was like, what? So yeah, he was only like 17 when he joined CZW. That's crazy. He made his CZW debut on June 21st, 2008, when he teamed with The Reason in a loss to GNC, Joe Gacy and Alex Colon. The Reason came up in one of our Nova Pro reviews recently.
Yeah, I think so. Probably. I trust you.
All right, I'll keep going then. Cole made his Ring of Honor debut in 2009. So he left. He was still in CZW in school November 2007. And he joined Ring of Honor February 2009. That's not even 18 months. That's amazing how quickly he came up there. When he lost to John Kerman in a dark match. Wow. I remember John Kerman posting a picture of him with Adam Cole. I didn't realize that was Adam Cole's debut, though. That kind of adds a bit more to that. And that was on a taping. And then at the Ring of Honor wrestling tapings the following night, Cole appeared in a dark match again, teaming with Ninja Brown against John Kerman and Corey Abbott. My goodness, that's pretty cool. That's a really cool story. If we'd have known that, I'm sure we would have asked John Kerman about that last year. August 23rd, 2010, Ring of Honor announced that Cole had signed a contract with the company. He just turned 20. That's incredible how quickly he came up. On August 7th, 2009, he defeated, I think it's pronounced Queenan Creed, to win the MCW Rage Television Champion. So he was with MCW as well. I knew he was with EWA. I don't think I knew he was with MCW at all. He held the championship for over 4 months, and that's when he changed his name to Adam Cole. He was Adam Carell at that point. He regained the championship 2 months later. Cole held it until July 31st when he and Tyler Hilton were defeated by Cobian and Tommy Dreamer. Cole made his debut in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, that's who we're talking about right now, in 2011. So he'd been with this organization for a year at this point. Alongside regular tag team partner Kyle O'Reilly as Future Shock. Unsuccessfully challenging the Young Bucks for the PWG World Tag Team Championship. I'm going to guess that's a pretty cool match as well. I'd kind of like to go back and watch some more of this stuff as well. On April 30th, 2011, Cole participated in East Coast Wrestling Association Super 8 Tournament. He defeated Sammy Callahan and Austin Aries en route to the final, where he lost to Tommaso Ciampa. I've heard of East Coast Wrestling as well. We haven't been there yet, but I mentioned before that they've had some big names there. I think one of our Dynamite Championship Wrestling? Mr. Ooh-La-La. I think he wrestled over there at one point as well. But yeah, that's a pretty impressive tournament going on right there. All right, go ahead. Talk to us about this match.
So Adam stretches before the match. Adam, he goes over Eddie and says, he goes on top of him and then says SMD. And Eddie spits beer in Adam's face, which I'm 100% sure they are not doing that anymore.
I don't think they're going to be doing it. Yeah, this is going to be a few things that are going to have to change. But yeah, that's kind of a... Oh, speaking of that, you know I told you Triple H tried to do that and the security guard grabbed the water bottle because he can't do that anymore? MGF spat water out on AIW this week.
AEW?
AEW this week. Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. He was being interviewed and he took like a drink and somebody said something shocking and he kind of went and spat it all out. I thought that was strange.
So Eddie is into Cole and Eddie's wearing Santa colors, which is red, black, and white, and the crowd starts chanting it. And Adam does a Suicina dive, which I guess it's kind of like a suicide. It was exactly like a suicide dive, but I feel like that should be a John Cena move, not a Adam Cole move.
That would make more sense.
Eddie does a F-plex, and Cole kicks out to a hard into a Boston Crab. And Cole does a DDT on the apron and a straight jagged suplex for the win.
And I was looking through 411 Mania's review of this one, and the last part they put, he's got to be on WWE's radar, right? That review was from December 2012. That certainly held the test of time, I would say, pretty well. All right, match three was another quarterfinal. Michael Elgin and Brian Cage. Battle of two Impact wrestlers here. Now, I didn't actually recognize Elgin because he had hair, and I've only seen him as I've only seen him bald. And you said the reverse for somebody, I think, as well. You said you only recognize Michael Elgin because he had hair, and you've never seen him bald. So that was a little bit of difference. And same with Brian Cage. I think Brian Cage had hair as well.
Yeah. So he still has hair.
A little bit. Well, I guess he does. He certainly had more though on this one here. Now, I'm not sure. Elgin thought he was actually going to be world champion on Impact this week. It's kind of weird. They've got some sort of strange thing going on. I'm not sure where Tessa is right now. And, yeah, he thought he was going to win because nobody was coming out. And then Moose came out at the last second, and then Moose beat him. So Michael Elgin nearly became the world champion, but it didn't quite happen. Not sure what's the deal with Tessa right now. It said something like she's in Mexico. Oh. I don't know if that's kayfabe or what it was. But, yeah, it was kind of a weird sort of championship going on. What have I got for this one? Who did I pick? I think I went with Brian Cage for this one. January 2013, he is the PWG World Tag Team Champion with Michael Elgin as Unbreakable. So that's a year later then. And they held the title for less than one day. That didn't last very long. And then in 2006, Elgin was the GCW National Champion at age 19. Whoa! There's been some young talent we talked about already in just these first few matches. And one of his trainers, Tyson Dukes. His name's come up a few times recently. Brian Cage was Impact Champion for 6 months from April to October 2019 as well. All right, Mason, what you got?
I have two big questions.
Okay.
So, I remember it was BTW, I believe, or Lance Armstrong won the championship.
Armstrong, the Tour de France cyclist?
No. It had something to do with Strong, but in BTW, and their champion, and every day he lost the championship, one day later he won it back. And I don't know how you do that.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember what his name was, though. Yeah. Well, they just have tournaments on Saturday and then Sunday, or they have a 2-day event or something like that.
Because even WWE doesn't do that.
They have. They have in the past. They've had Sunday night wrestling and then Monday night wrestling.
I mean, WrestleMania, but that's different.
Used to have like Sunday night heat. So they've done that stuff like that before.
And my second question is, Michael Elgin's on Impact?
Yes, Michael Elgin is on Impact.
Oh, I thought he was on Ring of Honor. Well, that's where I recognize him from, with a lot of hair, and he's on Ring of Honor.
You recognized him from your DVDs, you said, yeah. But yeah, no, he's on Impact. He's been on for at least a year. I don't remember exactly when he joined, but yeah.
They do a shoulder tackle train, and Michael comes on top with a gorilla press slam and a 12-second vertical suplex by Brian Cage, and a minute and 5 seconds. By vertical brainbuster by Michael Elgin, and Cage does a springboard, and Cage accidentally hits the ref during a move, and he gets a three, but the ref is still out cold, and Steen comes out and attacks Cage, but Cage kicks out at two when the ref finally comes back, and Elgin wins with a powerbomb, buckle bomb, and a dragon bomb, and so every single bomb there are. And the Young Bucks and Brian Cage and attack El Generico, Rick Knox, and Kevin Steen.
Yeah, it was pretty much a free-for-all at the end. It got a little bit crazy. Knox took the microphone, challenged the Bucks and Cage to a match, and he had to manage to get Kevin Steen and El Generico to tag together, even though they were rivals, and they agreed to do that for the greater good, as it were. All right, match four, the final quarterfinal, Ricochet and Roderick Strong. And I went with Ricochet on this one. The first thing I found on Cage Match was some reviews. You know, recently I found some really good reviews and really bad reviews for different people. All right, Ricochet, 2 stars, 2 out of 10. Would do better in Cirque du Soleil or America's Got Talent. As a wrestler, he ain't it. He really ain't it. Being grounded by main roster's WWE's stringent rules about worker safety exposes his critical lack of fundamentals, and once you strip back the tacky and faintly one-dimensional flippy nonsense which is his brand, he has a whole lot of nothing to show for himself. Impressive? Sure. Good wrestling? Not a chance. That's from Zozu in 2019. That's the end of 2019 as well. I personally like the flippy stuff, personally, but anyway. Alchemist, this is from late 2018. 10 stars. What Ricochet does when he's in the ring is superhuman. That 630 splash is so incredible. And his match with Adam Cole for the North American Championship was by far the best match I've seen from him in 2018. He's so over with the crowd, and I hope bigger and better things for him in the future. Yeah, people either seem to love Ricochet or they hate Ricochet. And I'm on the side where I love it, which is kind of why I wanted to see this match. Same thing from the previous one. Did not recognize Ricochet to begin with. He was a lot younger. He was 8 years younger, so I think he was in his early 20s, with hair as well. Another one that confused me. Also for this match, you actually said, I can't remember why you came up with this. I think it's because Kevin Steen was in the last match. You said that it would be a good idea to play 6 degrees of Kevin Steen, starting with Cabana Man Dan. And we did actually do that on Good Cop, Bad Cop episode 89, if you want to go and check out to see how long. Actually, it wasn't. We put it on the bonus material for 89B because it took like 15 minutes for my co-host to figure out how to get there in the end. All right, Mason, talk us through this match.
I'm sure if I gave him a route, I think he could do it in like at least 5 goes.
Well, you mentioned Ricochet. Oh, that was why you did it, because Ricochet was in this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and Samoa Joe
as well, yeah.
So I don't think Ricochet is from the U.S. because I have reason for this. He was announced in kilos.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that. Why was he announced in kilos? I don't remember. Unless that was his character. As far as I know, he is.
They said that in a later match, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know when they do the British guy on MLW, they do it in stones and pounds. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So, Ricochet, he backflips out of the arm lock. Ricochet does a 360 front flip onto Roderick. Ricochet does a backflip kick, and Ricochet kicks out of the lumbar check to the back and the stomach, and Ricochet wins with a shooting star press.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I was pleased to see Ricochet. I like that style of wrestling anyway, so I wasn't disappointed. And Roderick Strong, I like as one of the members of Bearded Era, so yeah, I was quite happy with this one. Kind of a long one, 16:28. Perhaps could have been a little bit quicker, actually, this match. That'd probably be the only criticism. It went on a little long.
Does Vince like Ricochet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because he doesn't like the flippy stuff, you said.
I don't know. He doesn't. Depends on who it is. Like, how many chances has Rey Mysterio had? He's still back there, like, 20 years later, so I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but I certainly like Ricochet. They've tagged it. Well, you won't know this then either. They've actually started pairing him up with Cedric Alexander the last few weeks as well. That works really well.
We'll have to see how that works. Good, but I thought Cedric was fired with all the other superstars.
Mm-mm.
He isn't? He's big?
No, he wasn't fired. All right, match 5, 6-man tag team match. This was B-Boy, Drake Younger, and Willie Mack against Team Statutory, which was Davey Richards, Joey Ryan, and Kyle O'Reilly. So, was that every single member then of Undisputed Era?
No.
Oh, who did we miss? Oh, Bobby Fish wasn't in, was he? Now, Drake Younger, I didn't recognize, actually. He has 602 matches listed on Cage Match. I'm like, my, that's a lot. He's actually an NXT referee. His real name is Drake Wentz. I thought it looked kind of a little familiar to begin with, but I couldn't remember why, so I had to go and look that up. The one I got totally wrong, though, was, because we watched this over a couple of days, with Davey Richards, I was like, oh, that's probably going to be Davey Boy Richards. Nah, no, nothing to do with that at all. This Davey Richards, though, was married to Angelina Love.
Oh, I've seen her.
Yeah, we saw her at MCW.
And Jackson has a wrestling figure.
It was his first female wrestling figure, yeah.
The first female wrestling figure for the both of us.
For the both of us.
I only have one, and he's like 3?
I don't know.
Stephanie, Alexa Bliss, and Angelina Love, and I have Sasha Banks.
Well, I bought a pair of figures. It was Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon. And you wanted the Mick Foley one because of Mick Foley, obviously. And then you had Stephanie McMahon. It seemed kind of a fair deal. Well, you got Vince as well now, so yeah.
Yeah,
that's just the way it worked out.
So,
and what we didn't know at the time was, because I think I started to do this later, was these were all the people that lost on night one, pretty much, as far as we can tell.
So, in the Adam Cole versus Sami Callihan match, I had a quiz for you. Who was the only member of the Undisputed Era that was not in this event?
Oh, so I ruined it. That was going to be in the next
match. Well, you would have figured it out anyway.
I would have figured it out, yeah.
I just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
Seems like we mentioned a lot of them, because this is only the 5th match. It seems like I've said them a lot of times. Oh, they're in an Undisputed Era.
Yeah. So, Kyle O'Reilly's in this one.
Yep.
And Joey does a hug for a tag. Kyle, he takes a fan's chair and another person's chair. And Kyle and Drake have a chair fight. Kyle loses the chair. And then he says, let's just wrestle. And then points to his brain. And Kyle hits the chair on the rope back into his face. Kyle kicks out of a pile driver on top of the chair. Willie Mack is like Samoa Joe. He really reminds me of it because he's a big guy but very athletic. And Willie tries to roll up Davey, and Kyle and Joey hold on to him so he doesn't so he doesn't get rolled up for the pin. And Willie's partners come and pants Joey and Kyle so you can see their bottoms. And there was a moonsault to Kyle and Joey bare bottom while they had their bare bottom out.
Pull your pants up.
Yep. And Davey comes back into the ring and pulls his pants down on purpose. And the fans boo as soon as he pulls them down. He pulls them back up. And then they cheer, yay! And then he pulls them back down again. And then they start booing. Kyle's catchphrase is definitely sleazy. Do you know what that means?
Do I know what the word sleazy means?
Yeah.
Yes, I know what the word sleazy means.
Oh, I thought it was like a random word.
No.
That he made up.
No.
So I looked it up. It was a person or a situation. It was sordid, corrupt, or immoral.
Yep. That'll be it. Yeah, cheap.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yep.
So Willie pushes Davey and Joey's head into Kyle's dingo 5 times, and they can't, I couldn't write it down. They have like move after move after move like 25 times, and Willie wins with the Chocolate Thunder Driver. I feel like the commentators make up some moves this time, because it was just a regular pile driver, and he called it a Chocolate Thunder Driver. And same with the other thing.
It depends who it is, though. If it's one of the independent wrestlers, they try and make it a little bit more personal. One of the interviews I was listening to today on No Holds Barred, they talk about, the wrestler was talking about the fact that he hates it when he goes to a new organization, because they just give the standard name of the move instead of his particular brand of the move as well. So I would say, actually, that's probably going to be good commentary. I don't think they would have just made that up off the top of their head. I think they probably would have asked. And it sounds like a lot of these guys were together for several years as well.
Because somebody else did a Hurricane Rana off the top rope, and he called it a Thunder Avalanche Hurricane Rana. It's like, how you probably are making...
If it was Thunder Rosa, I might have been more on board with that. I don't remember that specific one.
And it was like, you must be making these moves up. How do you remember them?
Use your brain.
Well, like, there's like hundreds of finishing moves.
There is. But you'd go... I'm going to, okay, not to break kayfabe for a second, but, okay, so 5 minutes into the match, I'm going to do this move, okay? And don't call it a Hurricane Rana, call it a Thunder Hurricane Rana or whatever. So they can let them know ahead of time.
I know, but, like, don't you have notes? They must have notes for something, like.
They probably know each other. Remember, a lot of these wrestlers wrestle with each other multiple times as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
But the commentator, that would be a good tactic for a commentator, though, to go and ask the wrestler, hey, what is it? What moves do you have? Is there any special names? That really annoyed me at Beyond Wrestling when they didn't do that. Like, the Ugly Ducklings, and there was a debut there, I think it was, and they didn't call any of Duck Duck Goose, Launchpad McQuack, they didn't call it any. I hated that. I gotta say, I wish I got a stopwatch on this. I was kind of impressed. I know you said you had a lot of notes for this one, but I'm like, my gosh, you had a lot of notes for that one. I was like, all right, I'm getting ready to come in. I was like, man, you got a lot. Whereas I wrote down way too much was happening, so I didn't write anything down. I got one phrase, this is awkward. I can't remember when that came up in the match.
Oh, because their pants were down.
Oh, that was it. That would make sense. I put the best part of the match for me was right at the end, though, when there was no rules. Basically, it was just 3-on-3 in the ring. To start with, it was a traditional tag match, and then after a bit, it just spiraled out of control. Everybody came in when they won. There was no tags. It was whatever. And to me, that was the best part of the match. I really enjoyed it. I thought that was my favorite part of that whole thing, I think. All right, so that match was put in, of course, to give a break from the quarterfinal matches. So we're on to the semifinals now. First semifinal, Adam Cole, Sami Callihan. Now, I'm not used to actually Sami not being the biggest heel in a match. That was kind of a surprise for this one. Adam Cole was by far the bigger heel on this one. There were more cheers for Sami at the start of this one, I think. All right, talk us through this one.
Sami does an 8 count, but he shoves the ref. I don't know why he didn't get disqualified. He had an 8 count, and he shoved the ref. But it's all okay. But because Adam punches Sammy's dingo. And Adam, he spits in Sammy's face, which they're definitely not doing that again either.
That's going to be a tough one.
Adam gets out of the stretch muffler, which beat TJP. And Sammy taps to the figure four, and Roderick Strong was on commentary, and he says, I'm a huge fan of Adam Cole. And a couple years later, they become tag team partners.
First on Ring of Honor, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the thing that surprised me most about this one, I was actually really impressed with Sammy's technical wrestling. I think of Sammy is more of a thug, to be honest, and like he's the kind of person that'll get a cheap shot in, or he'll get a baseball bat and use a weapon, or he'll do something sneaky. He had a good range of moves in this one. That really surprised me. I need to watch some more of Sammy. I like Sammy Callahan as a wrestler, but I was really impressed with his technical style for this one as well. I put some great submission attempts. Adam Cole had the figure four to begin with, but he managed to get to the rope. There was a couple of moves after that, and then he went for the figure four again. Initially, Sammy reversed it, but then Adam Cole reversed it for a second time, and that's when finally he had to tap out.
That's the thing that I feel bad for Orange Cassidy about. So Sammy Callahan, he's a good, like, he's like a deathmatch fighter, but he's also a very good technical wrestler, but nobody knows him for that. Same with Orange Cassidy. Everybody thinks about him as the lazy guy who's not very good. But he actually is really good.
He's really good.
At the end of his matches, he wrestles in his pockets, and he's really good at that. But when he takes him out, he's even better.
He's a really good wrestler.
But yeah. He would get into the WWE or the AEW without his lazy gimmick because he's that good of a wrestler. But nobody knows him for that.
People on the indies would know that. But yeah, people on AEW have seen flashes of it. But yeah, they still see him more of as a comedy character. He did have that match with Pac, but it was kind of short, so they didn't really get to see too much yet. But yeah, I'm amazed they've managed to keep that character going for as long as they have. Somebody did ask on today on Twitter, who's your favorite wrestler? And I was like, that's really tough. I said, the person I'm still most excited to see is Orange Cassidy. I still get excited when he comes out because you think, is he going to wrestle for full this time? Or is he just going to do his character? Either way, I'm happy. I like his gimmick and I like his wrestling style, so I'm pretty okay either way. All right, second semifinal then was Michael Elgin and Ricochet.
So Ricochet backflips off Elgin, and Ricochet attempts the top rope DDT, but Elgin catches him and turns it into a world-tilting backbreaker. That's another one of them. I feel like he just made that up. There was a one-minute delayed suplex by Elgin, but at 59 seconds, Ricochet does a DDT. Elgin kicks out of a neckbreaker, and there was two standing shooting star presses by Ricochet, and Ricochet jumps from inside the ring over the post outside of the ring and lands on his feet, and the fan got a high five from him, but he was like doing a little golf clap, and it was pretty funny. And Ricochet gets the backwards Frankensteiner and the top rope shooting star press, but Elgin kicks out of it, and Michael Elgin wins with a powerbomb off the top rope. Powerbomb avalanche, then a pile driver.
And what I was going to say, and I forgot in the last one, Michael Elgin, you said it was a minute and 5 seconds. The speed of the count, though, at the end was like 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. I was like, that's not a second in between. So it was counted to 65, but I'm not going to say it was 65 seconds.
I think it hurts both of the wrestlers because it's really tiring holding one up, and then it hurts the other one because all their blood's going to their head.
Well, they've also got to try and keep their body in that position as well. They help out a little bit, but if they started kicking their legs, they would easily get the momentum to come down, but they normally just leave themselves there. I thought this was a way better semi-final than the previous one, to be quite honest. I think part of that was the crowd. There was a real split between these two. It was like, Michael Elgin, Ricochet. So you had that real split between them, which makes it better. The fans were out of their seat way more as well. Like, people were jumping up, and it was like, oh! The fans were far more involved in this one. Ricochet's high-flying, just so impressive again. I didn't matter that he didn't win this one. It didn't make any difference to me. This match also showed he can wrestle the big guy as well. Michael Elgin is definitely way bigger than Ricochet. And I think that's probably what makes the match against Brock Lesnar even more disappointing. When he finally had a chance for the championship, and then it was basically a squash match. So he showed that he can fight the big guys, and I would like to really see him in another big match, having seen this one here. I did put Ricochet went for the Hurricane Rana, but it was reversed into a powerbomb. I think that showed the strength of Michael Elgin as well. I really like that towards the finish as well.
One thing I have to ask you, who do you think is like the lowest star, like the ranking?
On the main roster?
Yeah, on here.
On this card?
On this card, yeah.
There was a few people I didn't know, actually. So it would probably be from that. Like, I didn't know on that previous tag team match, I'd never heard of, I think it was B-Boy. And I'd never seen Davey Richards before. Well, perhaps I have, but I didn't recognize him. I've seen his name come up a few times recently. I would say B-Boy was the name I didn't recognize.
Yeah, and who do you think is the top star?
I would say Adam Cole. or Kevin Steen. It's between those two, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like...
I know Adam Cole's on NXT, but...
Even the bottom half of the card on a different show would be, like, the main star.
Oh, yeah. There was...
That's how stacked this card is.
When I saw... I would say this was essentially a random DVD. It could have been anything. When I saw all the names that were on this, I was like, oh my gosh, I'd love to see these, like, in this era. You can see what they were like before they made the jump to WWE, and I wasn't disappointed in this at all. I've already looked. Then, unfortunately, they're not on PowerSlam, and they're not on IWTV either. So I guess it's kind of like GCW. You got to pay for them if you want to watch the pay-per-views, which is a little disappointing, but there might be the odd match. I didn't look for, like, on YouTube. Perhaps you can get, like, the odd match here and there. So, but yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed this. All right, six-man tag team match. El Generico. This is one that's set up from earlier. El Generico, Kevin Steen, Rick Knox against the Young Bucks and Brian Cage. Now, I did actually look up Rick Knox at this point as well. I saw one of the ratings for him. 10, a great referee and commentator, a staple of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and Lucha Underground. We might see him in Global Force Wrestling someday. His average rating was 9.5. 26 out of 31 people gave him 10 stars. He's only had 5 matches. Well, on Cage Match, anyway. And the other 4 were for a different wrestling group called AWS, the Alternative Wrestling Show. And mainly because he's a referee now. So, they've been a referee on AEW. And I actually found a clip as well, bar wrestling. There was the Young Bucks came into the ring after Joey Ryan had a match. And they had, like, the contract with him. And they were like, well, we want to kind of... we came here today because we want to have a contract. And Jerry Ryan's like, look, I got lots of big offers. Like, I can't sign anything now. I got lots of people. And they're like, yeah, we're not here for you. Which is kind of funny. And then they turned around and they talked to the ref. And he's like, I know we've had our issues over the years. Obviously, in this match, we'll see that as well. And obviously, the setup to this match. We think you're one of the best referees in the world, etc., etc. We want you to be able to do this full time so you don't have to do any other jobs. We'd like you to sign for AEW. Guy was in tears. It was brilliant. It was a really cool scene.
That was not staged?
I don't think so. I don't think he knew about it. I don't think they told him. Or if he did, he played it really well. But it seemed like he didn't know that side of it. It would make sense that they would come for Joey Ryan, right?
Yeah.
That seemed plausible. And I'm sure Joey was like, yeah, tell him you're here for me. And then we'll twist it round. And then, yeah, they kind of spun straight round to him. And, yeah, it was a really good moment. I also saw... I was looking at the interview. Excalibur, who we mentioned earlier, he was being interviewed by Kelsey.
Oh.
I was like, wow, this is really cool. So it was for Wrestling News, and he said, Rick Knox is one of my favorite people in wrestling. He's just one of my favorite people to have him on board and coming along with this journey. Obviously, with Excalibur being on AEW. When I saw the episode of BTE where they offered Rick the contract in the ring, I was tearing up and crying. I was so happy for him. It's fantastic to have him on board and get to see him every week. Before, it was like every 6 weeks or so. So now, every single week, I get to see my friend Rick, and it's awesome. So I thought that was really cool that they obviously... I didn't know that side of it. Like, I knew the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Cody, like they were really close. I didn't know that side of it as well. All right, what have I got on here? Oh, Kevin Steen. I don't think we've ever really talked about him in any detail. I know you've seen quite a few things, so you might know some of this stuff already. I actually went and looked at his PWG record, Mason. So, in 2005, he was 21 years old, tag team champions with El Generico. And he was also... what was it called? I'm not sure if that was his... I don't think he was Kevin Steen at that time. I'm not sure. And he was also a two-time champion with El Generico. It says with Quicksilver, so I think that was him, possibly. Three-time champion with El Generico. Four-time champion with El Generico. Five-time champion. So obviously, we obviously know that he's in WWE. We knew he had a history in NXT as well. Obviously, they had a big history in PWG. Yeah, those guys have known each other for a long, long time. 2005, tag team champions at PWG. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, in the interview, or like the 24 documentary on Kevin Owens, they talked about El Generico, but they never said El Generico. They just called him Simi.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So, I've seen him many, many times, but they just
called
him
Simi. You just didn't realize that's... okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I don't remember who she is, but I wrote Tegan Knox many times. I recognize the name.
She's NXT.
Oh, okay. That's I for some reason I know that name.
She was the one in the what is it? The War Games. Perhaps you didn't see the female War Games then.
No, I didn't. I didn't see any War Games this year.
Oh, okay. I can't remember which way around it was. She either slammed the door on one of her teammates' legs, so she got took out of the match before it started, or she had her leg slammed in. I can't remember which way around it was. I want to say it was Dakota Kai was the other person. I'm really struggling to remember. But yeah, Tegan Nox is an NXT person.
I don't know how I know that name. I just know it.
I think she was in the Mae Young Classic. I want to say she was the one that injured her leg and then couldn't continue or something. So I think she broke her leg possibly. So I might be mixing her up with somebody else as well. But she's definitely an NXT wrestler for sure.
Okay, so at the
hold on, why are you writing Tegan Nox down for this match?
Because
though?
I wrote Rick Knox and I kept writing Tegan Nox.
I wasn't putting those two together at all for a second.
So at the very start of the match, it was only El Generico and Rick Knox because they didn't know that Kevin Steen was coming. But a funny thing, there was a promo at some other match, and El Generico and Rick Knox, it was when the Young Bucks and Brian Cage attacked them,
mm-hmm.
and Kevin Steen stormed off, and the crowd started chanting, "He'll be back, he'll be back," and they were 100% right. So Nick does a noogie and a DX symbol to Rick. Matt gets drop kicked by Rick, and Rick gets spit in the face by Nick. Elgin goes out of the ring and slides back in for the tag, which is very, very smart. I think they should start doing that more often. But he's cut off by Brian, and L reverses the brainbuster with one of his own.
Are you reversing El Generico to L?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
El Generico reverses the brainbuster with one of his own, and Kevin Steen comes in to help El Generico with a person to tag. And Steen takes out everyone. Steen and Rick and El Generico do a suicide dive. And there's this one I remember. So Rick, he was wearing his referee shirt.
He was, yeah.
I don't know why.
That was weird because there was a referee in there as well who was wearing a referee shirt.
The thing that they do in WWE, like when Shawn Michaels, he took the referee shirt and then he was the referee. Couldn't like somebody just take off the referee shirt? So that Rick is the referee now, and then he just has this fastest count ever.
Good, I guess.
That would be, like, the greatest ending ever. Or a great ending would be Kevin turns on them. I feel like that would be very, like... I feel like that would be very
his character as well. He's
that
been known
be,
to do that
Yeah,
before.
That would be very Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
So Brian Cage does a broken machine, and there was a... 8-time waist lock reversals. Rick pushes Matt into Nick, and Nick shoves Brian over the top rope for a whole team takeout. And I know how to tell Nick and Matt apart.
I would hope so.
I couldn't really, because they look exactly the same.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. From the camera, they do.
Well, considering you can't even tell the Ugly Ducklings apart, and that's like one of your favorite tag teams.
Hey. I just
like,
get that
name's
the tall mixed.
One?
I remember them now.
Uh-huh. 2 years later. That's a good job.
So Nick is wearing armbands, and Matt isn't.
Oh, my
isn't.
Gosh.
What?
That's how you told him apart?
Yeah.
I was wondering
how the commentators told him apart. What's so funny?
This is your first match you've ever seen him in, I'm guessing.
What? No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Didn't we see them at the one we went to? At Ring of Honor?
They weren't at Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
They
but
were
I've seen them many times in my Ring of Honor
Oh,
videos.
On your Ring of Honor DVD. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and...
And you still don't know?
No. It's not funny.
It's a little funny.
It's the same thing as the Usos.
Alright, come on, finish it up. They're identical twins. That's
yeah,
a little
so
different.
Are, so
no,
the
they're main... not. They're not the same age.
What? They are?
No.
Really?
No,
Who's
they're
older?
Brothers, but they're not the same. Like, you and Jackson are brothers. That doesn't mean you look alike. Well, you kind of sound alike.
Hey, no, we don't. No, we don't.
Someone said you sound alike the other day, and I was like, Mason's not going to like that at all. Come on, let's finish this matchup.
What we should do is we should put Jackson doing the intro one time and see if anybody notices.
Uh-huh.
Then we would see if we really do
go,
something.
Come on, let's go.
So Brian, he does over the top for a whole team takeout. Kevin does a, he does a double Death Valley driver with two people on him, and Rick does a
super... Wasn't it just a Samoan drop?
No, it was a Death Valley driver.
Okay.
What? They're kind of the same.
Okay.
Well, Samoan drop, I think, is when they go backwards.
And a
Death Valley driver is when you push...
Over the sides.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it was a Samoan drop.
I didn't write it down, but...
So, Rick does a super quick DDT. That was another one they made up. What is a super quick DDT?
I don't know.
So then, this is what I noticed. They all have natural disasters in it. Avalanche, tornado, earthquake.
Death Valley.
No, the ones they make up.
Then Thunder, Steve, yeah. The Thunder Hurricane Rana.
Yeah. Then Steen does a pile driver. El Generico, he does a brain buster. And Rick does a splash to Nick for the El Generico, Kevin Steen, and Rick Knox win.
Correct.
And after the match, Kevin and El Generico each flip the bird to each other.
Yeah, Kevin offers him a hand, and as he goes to reach for it, he gives him the middle finger, and then El Generico did the same. And then Steen went straight back onto commentary. Yeah, the three flips, I don't think you sold that enough. The fact the ref did that, like, I would expect that from the other guys, but you don't expect the ref to be able to do that. Like, the forward flip over the top rope was amazing. I also like the fact when the ref was on that 1-3 situation, like you said, it didn't look like he was in trouble, but he was on the Young Bucks' back, but he managed to wriggle out of it. He pushed Matt into Nick, then the other guy charged to him, and he pulled down the top rope to get... The fact that he had to do, like, three moves in a row, I thought was really good for somebody who was not an out-and-out wrestler, and somebody who was a referee, and it looked plausible. It did not look clunky or anything like that at all. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I thought this was a really fun match. I like the fact that they had the referee in there. I like the fact I hadn't seen Sammy as El Generico before either, so I really like that side of it. And yeah, I thought it was really cool.
The person who I think does the best suicide dives is Roman Reigns. I love how he goes over the top rope with his arms back.
He looks pretty good. On the indies, Brock L.
Yes, he's Roman very was good.
Height he gets, yeah, is
they both get pretty good height.
Yeah, there's another one who I really like who goes through the middle rope.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm trying to think. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, there's one more person I like. Sage Bowler's good as well, but that's not the one I'm thinking
isn't
of.
Isn't Sage Phillips?
Sage Phillips is pretty good as well. Yeah.
I thought he goes.
There's someone on WWE, but I can't bring their name to mind right now. But I know somebody else does
like
that.
Like Sin Cara.
And he always looked. I guess there's a lot of people who are really good, but I know there's one that particularly catches my mind.
I got so sad when I saw Sin Cara had a trampoline when he jumped over the ring.
Yeah.
It just made me feel...
Yeah, weird. Yeah. It has to. There's no way you could physically do that. It wouldn't make any sense.
You'd have to have Jedi jumping strength.
Yeah, no one has that vertical leap. Imagine how good he'd be at basketball if he could jump like that. That'd be kind of good. Space Jam.
Yeah. Hey!
He'd be excellent in that. All right, the final was Adam Cole versus Michael Elgin. I noticed streamers at the start for this. I don't remember any streamers for any other matches. Which is kind of weird. Like, it seems weird you'd save it just for the final. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Actually, we've been before and we're like, oh yeah, we could have thrown it. I don't know. It seemed kind of something I hadn't noticed earlier. I'm not saying there weren't any, but normally at events, like, we've just watched some Ring of Honor, or I watched one of yours last night, and, like, every match, there's streamers there. So if you have streamers, they tend to be fairly frequently. It's not like the matches weren't good. It's not like they weren't fan-favorite. Like, if you're an Adam Cole fan, you could have thrown them in two other matches. If you're a Michael Elgin fan, you could have thrown them in two other... I don't know. Seemed kind of strange, but somebody... I wonder if they handed them out. It could be. You know, sometimes we've seen, like, Ring of Honor particularly, like, they've handed streamers out to throw them in. Like, hey, look, it's the final guys. PWG handed them out. Here, let's make this look a little bit better. I don't know. Well, we already talked about these guys because it's their third match, so go ahead. Straight into it.
So, oh, that just reminded me of something. So, you know how people used to throw toilet paper at MJF?
Yes, I do remember that.
I don't think they're going to do that anymore because people go toilet paper crazy.
I hadn't even thought about that. Straight after, yeah, those first matches back, yeah, people are not going to want to do that. It's too expensive. I don't know. Perhaps those people who bought, like, that guy from Australia who bought, like, 10,000 rolls or something and then tried to take them back and they're like, no, we're not doing that. Yeah, that perhaps might be how he gets rid of them then. He sold them to wrestling fans. I hadn't even thought about that.
Michael attempts a suicide dive, but Adam kicked him in the face, Elgin got caught by Adam's. Elgin caught Adam's crossbody. Adam grabs the trophy, but Elgin does a body slam to Adam on the hardwood floor. Adam gets dropped on his head on the apron. Adam does a brain buster, but Elgin's head goes onto Adam's knee. And the whole time, Elgin's in the figure four, the crowd chants, "Please don't tap." Huh. Adam does a straight jagged suplex, and Adam kicks out of the buckle bomb and then a blue thunder bomb. And Adam does a Canadian destroyer off the top rope, then two super kicks to the back of the head, and a straight jagged suplex for the win. And after the match, Adam does a very heel speech. Kevin Owens comes in here. Kevin Steen comes into the ring and said that Adam doesn't deserve the title shot. So he kicks Kevin in the dingo and hits him in the face with the belt and walks away with the trophy in the belt.
Yeah, he was definitely showing his heel tendencies for this one as well. Now, I actually saved this right until the end. I found this out in the first match when I was researching Adam Cole, but I saved it for the end. Some of his signature moves, and actually I'm glad I did save it for the end, because one reason I had it planned, but one I didn't have planned, but something that you said. Backstabber. There's a scoop brainbuster, but he calls it the collateral. I like that, collateral. Cole Day in Hell. That's a wheelbarrow suplex. So you said that there was quite a few moves that they have. Like, how do they have so many? I was like, hey, look, here you go. There's two straight away. The crossbody, enziguri, the kneecap brainbuster, super kick. The last two are kind of interesting. Now, this, remember, is 2012. I don't think these moves would go down very well now either. Although for a heel, I'm not sure. He has an inverted DDT, which is called the Corona Crush. And he has a jumping big boot, which is called the Corona Kick. So I'm sure that they're not used anymore. But yeah, in this times of COVID-19, I can't imagine Corona being used anymore. Or would that be a great name for a heel move?
I think so.
It definitely holds weight now. Right now, I think it's a little too soon. But certainly a few months later or a year later, that would definitely add emphasis, because no one's going to forget about this. This is something you're going to remember for the rest of your life, that's for sure. I'm going to say we're nearly 2 months into this now as we're recording this. And yeah, it's still going on. I would say you're not going back to school until August at the very earliest, and I don't think you're even doing that. I think you'll be doing online learning for at least August, September, October, possibly even longer. All right, anything else for this one?
No.
I gave one spoiler after we recorded. We recorded everything except this last match, so this is actually the second recording as we're putting this together, because I needed to edit some last night and some today. I did tell you that I have got you a PWG video for Christmas. I thought it was really cool, so I looked up to see what they had, and yeah, they had some interesting stuff. So there will definitely be some more probably PWG reviews at some point in the future, but we'll have to see when.
And this whole final match, the cat's been sitting on the chair that we put the phone on to record, and we put the phone on the chair.
She doesn't normally sit there. And yeah. We're like, what are we going to do? And we're like, I'm just going to put the phone there anyway. She's kind of looking at it a little suspicious. But yeah, heel cat wanted part of this. Oh, she just stretched her leg. I thought she was about to kick the phone off. But she definitely wanted to be part of this, and she got her wish.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/